fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Yay. Thrilled to have you.
What a wonderful group of unique, talented, spirited, fun, exciting, consciously creating, liberating, leading edge thinkers that have gathered today. It is truly amazing to have this group of such high vibrational beings together in one setting. Do you understand what you bring to this group, of leading edge thinkers on this little talk that we're having right now? That each one of you is integral to this particular conversation. That each one of you brings something special to it, not just your voice or your questions or whatever you're thinking, but your energy. You each have this unique energy. And when that energy is combined and shared and flows freely back and forth with the energy of everyone else in this group, then you create this powerful, radiating, vibrating source of energy that raises all of your vibrations, as well as all of the vibrations of those who will ever listen to this, so that we, Joshua, can access ideas that have never been accessed before, and we can bring them to you. But not only that, you can access questions you've never thought of before. You can access answers that have never occurred to you before. You can gain insights that have escaped you. Because you are sharing an equal energy amongst yourselves, you are part of this group. This group could not exist without each and every one of you. So whoever is here on this group is equally part of the group. And without you, this group could not exist. You may be new to this group. That doesn't matter. You are equal to everyone else in this group. You are equal to those who have been here before, to those who you perceive no more. However, no one really knows any more than you do. You are self-contained. You have access to everything you need to have access to. And as a group, all of this will flow in. Now, you can consider yourself less than somebody else or more than somebody else. But this is a human type of way of looking at things, a human type of perspective. You might think that your energy is not equal to the energy of someone else. Well, that is not true. Your energy, your non-physical energy, is equal in every regard everyone who exists. If you exist, you have an equal energy. If you are physical and you're aligned with that energy, well, then you can say that you're in a good mood, you're happy, you're having fun. If you are not aligned with that non-physical energy, you can say you're sad or depressed or angry or mad. You could say you're slow, or you could say you're fast, depending on how aligned you are with that energy. But the energy exists whether you recognize it or not. Whether you decide to be in a good mood or a bad mood, it's still there. And you have access to that energy at all times. When we come together as a group like this, and you access that energy, then you share your energy with the others. No one takes the energy from you. They share their energy with you as well. And in doing so, you can have fun. You can have lively conversation. You can receive all that you intend to receive from this interaction. So how does that all sound to you right now?
I'm worthy.
Excellent.
You're all worthy to be here. Exactly right. You're all worthy to laugh and have fun and participate and not worry about what anyone else is thinking, not worry about anything else that's happening other than to gain as much as you can from this interaction. You are here to gain insight, to have fun, to be interesting, to share your perspective with the others so that they can share their perspective, so they can get something from it. We are all feeding into this conversation, and this conversation will go on to help others for eons, as long as it's available to them. And for us right now in this conversation, we are all sharing with each other and providing this energy flow back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and building the energy, building the energy, building the energy, making it greater and greater and greater. Can you feel in alignment with that energy right now?
Yes.
We can.
Does anyone not feel it right now in this moment?
No.
No.
Okay. So everyone now is building on the energy. Does everyone feel worthy of being here? Say yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you feel worthy of being here, and if you use this as your excuse to feel good, then you have tapped into that energy. And from here, magical things can happen. From here, we can build this synergy of energy that is the same energy that creates worlds. And we're not going to create a world. We're going to create something even more magnificent than a world. There are plenty of worlds out there. We're going to create a conversation that has never been had before in the history of the universe. Nor will this conversation ever happen again. This is a unique conversation, and all of us are part of it. And if you are listening to this, you are part of it now, too. And now you can use this as an excuse always to raise your vibration, to tap into that higher level thoughts, that higher level ideas, that those ideas that are there but have never been reached before. We are now reaching for them, feeling good, building the energy, reaching for ideas that have never been thought before, bringing from the non-physical into the physical. And that is how the manifestation of everything is. It always starts with an idea. You bring that idea, that non-physical idea, that non-physical thought from non-physical into physical reality. And that's what we're doing.
Can I jump in?
If you were inspired, jump in.
Thank you. So that was my whole thought this morning was all about thoughts. And I've heard you say things like, we don't have the thought, or the thought comes to us.
You are not a thought manufacturer.
So how does that work?
All thoughts that ever have been thought exist. All thoughts that will ever be thought exist as a possibility. All thoughts that have ever been thought have a vibrational marker to them. If you reach the vibrational marker of a thought, and that could be the thought of punching the wall because you're angry, then you receive that thought, right? Your vibration resonates with the thought. If you're angry, you can easily receive the thought of punching the wall. If you are inspired, you can easily receive the thought of inventing something or writing something or coming up with a new insight that has never been thought before. All the ideas that have never been brought from non-physical to physical exist in the non-physical with a vibrational marker. You reach the vicinity of that vibration, that idea will come to you. And generally, that idea comes to you through desire. If you have a passion, a desire for something, the desire will cause you to adjust your beliefs, do some research, find out what's interesting, reach for more, and boom, you have an electric car. Mm-hmm. Or you have the best electric car that's ever been invented. Or you have a new idea for a song. Or you have a new idea for a book. Or you have a new idea for a poem. Or for a way to express your love to your mate. It all comes from the idea. The idea, we have said this week, is the engine in the car of manifestation. The desire is the engine in the car of manifestation. The desire is what brings forth that idea. So you have a thought. You tend to think that thought is your own thought, that you somehow manufactured that thought. But what is happening more and more is that you are a vibrational match to the thought. So if you are a match to the thought that I can't do this, then that's the thought that will come to you. If you are the match to the thought I can do anything, then that's the thought that will come to you. It's to your vibration. If you can think of a volcano and now think of a butterfly, all you've done is change your vibration to align with the thought of a volcano, which has a specific vibrational signature, and you've resonated with that thought of a volcano, and a volcano is a very easy thought for you to bring forth because you've seen volcanoes, you've seen pictures of volcanoes. the volcano that you see, that you've brought forth, is unique to you. Is it a volcano you've actually seen? No. Is it a volcano that actually exists? Probably not. Is it a representation of all the photos that you've ever seen of volcanoes? Possibly. Is it one specific volcano? Possibly. Is it a made-up volcano? Possibly. And then now you switch your vibration to the vibration of a butterfly, and now you receive the thought of a butterfly. All you've done is switch your vibration without even thinking that's what you're doing, and you've been able to capture the thought of a butterfly. Now think of a monarch butterfly. Think of another type of butterfly. Think of a yellow butterfly. All you're doing is switching your vibration. Now, switch your vibration to feelings of worthiness, feelings of excitement, feelings of joy. Think of a time in your life that you experienced joy. All you're doing is shifting your vibration to joy. And what comes forth when you shift your vibration to joy are thoughts that resonate with joy, because you've reached the vibration level high enough to think about joy, and those thoughts now that come to you resonate with that high vibration. If you think, oh, I can't maintain this vibration of joy, then you have a fear that's entered in there. And the fear will bring you down and may disconnect you from the ability to think thoughts of joy, and may bring you down to a lower vibration, and now you receive thoughts that resonate with this fear of not being able to maintain the vibration of joy, for instance. It's all vibrational. So it is beneficial to think that you receive thoughts rather than you manufacture thoughts. Because when you receive thoughts, when you know that you can receive high vibrational thoughts, it's not about doing anything else than raising your vibration and allowing the thoughts to come to you and realizing that those thoughts exist in the non-physical and are being provided to you through your access to infinite intelligence. And each one of you can access an unlimited and infinite level of intelligence based on what you care about, what your desires are. So you may have the desire to cook, and you may reach for a new way of cooking something, or a new recipe, or a new idea. And then these thoughts will come to you, and you'll notice something on Facebook about cooking, or you'll see a TV show. You'll just be attracted or drawn to these ideas about cooking, and something will light your fancy and cause you interest, and you'll follow the thread of that interest. And now you're reaching for higher vibrational thoughts and higher vibrational thoughts, and then maybe you put something together with all the different ingredients that has never been created before. And it's a new dish that has never existed in the history of the world. And that dish has been brought forth through your desire for something new and come through these ideas and these thoughts that are non-physical, and you've made it physical. That's how everything is manifested. And it's as easy as reaching for the next highest thought you can think of.
So I have an example of this from this weekend. It was rainy and the boys were here and everybody was starting to get stir crazy. And it was just in the past, when I spent more time in that lower vibrational state, like I see looking back how it was so much harder to get us out of it because I wasn't attracting those higher thoughts. But now that I'm working on staying calm and allowing them to be who they are, I attract solutions, you know, thoughts of like how to diffuse the situation. And so I take them to this indoor play place type thing. And what you were saying about us receiving thoughts and not creating them, that helps me pay more attention to the little inspirations that come up where I was about to walk out the door and I had the thought, oh, I should grab this book, a book that I haven't even thought about, recently stole from my son's preschool a few years ago. And so I would have just ignored it and be like, oh, why would, you know, I want to get out the door, and I would have just gone out the door. But I went back and looked to the bookshelf and just happened, my eyes went right to it, and I grabbed it and I took it with me and read it while they were playing. And it's called Raising Your Spirited Child. And it just, I mean, I started crying in the middle of the place because it was just exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. It helped me understand so much more about each of my sons and how they operate, sort of, you know, just the types of, like, I don't know, personality traits and how they get their energy. And it made me more aware of things in myself. And it's just made such a huge difference in the couple of days following. And it's all just from realizing, yeah, that it's not my thought. I'm not making it up. I don't know why it feels
it's
better.
A great example.
When you think it's you making it up, you just tend to discount it. When you think it is God giving it to you, or infinite intelligence giving it to you, or your inner self giving it to you, then you take it with a little more importance. And you say, this must be for me if it's coming to me. And it is for you. And it is your guides and your millions and your inner self reminding you, pick up this book, look over here, you'll see exactly what we're talking about, just look over here, remember your keys, remember this, remember whatever it has to be. These are these your guides and your supporters and your inner self conveying ideas to you because you are in a receptive mode of allowing. And when you can allow inspiration to come, then it's always at the perfect time. Also, when you take your attention off what you do not like or what you think is wrong or how you might perceive in the past that your boys were being wrong, and had they just been right, then you could feel good and realize that them being them is how they are, and you can accept them as how you are. So now you take your focus on what you don't like and you say, well, from this point, what do I like? What do I want? And then you'll be guided to the inspiration for something that will work for everyone. And mm-hmm. that's just what happened. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic example.
I think I had similar things this weekend. I was at a reunion, 85 women from my college, and that was a long time ago. And typically, I want to be in the middle with everybody. I don't want to miss anything. And always in a hurry to get to the next adventure, the next person or whatever. And my energy was so focused on being, oh, I'm talking to this gal and there's things going on around me and I know that. And typically I'd be looking around waiting to go to the next thing. And I was had such a good time talking to less people, but more quality. And I knew it was me, the new me.
This is exactly what we're talking about as this tapping into non-physical energy of who you really are. Mm-hmm. Who you really are is a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. You are equal to everyone else. When you go into a large group, there's energy moving all over the place, just as there is energy moving all over right now. And you might think, I should be engaging with each one of these 85 people. But what's really happening is that you can connect the person that you're meant to connect with if you just allow the energy and the law of attraction to guide you and be open to the energy and meet up with the energy that matches your energy. And then if you can remain equal and feel that you're worthy to talk to whoever you're talking about and have a stance of neither dominance or subordination, but of curiosity to say, why was I attracted to this person? What is in this for me? How are we building together? If you can do that, then you will be guided to the perfect person, and it will seem as if the rest of the group fades away because your consciousness will be linked together, and you'll be sharing this energy and building on the energy as long as that happens. And then when it's ready for something else will happen. Something else will be attracted to you. So it's an excellent example of what we're talking to here. We could all be distracted by other things that are happening in the room, in our apartments, on the computer screen, whatever it is. But if we can focus and share our energy and each contribute whenever they're inspired to contribute and listen when you're inspired to listen and engage at the highest level knowing that you're perfectly worthy to be here and perfectly valid as part of this group and equal to each and every other person, including us, as you share your energy with us and engage with us, whether that's verbally or mentally, will not understand how much of your communication is nonverbal, not just in body language, but in this non-physical communication, where your inner selves are speaking to each other, where you're communicating on so many different levels. The words are the least adequate form of communication. It's not what you say, it's how you feel. The feeling of your energy, how you are presenting it, how you are keeping it equal and balanced, how you are keeping your vibration steady and not letting it wobble up and down, how you are not allowing people to dominate you or you are not allowing them to be subordinate to you. You are just being equal and stable and then allowing them to adjust themselves to you. You don't allow yourself to be brought down by anything that they may say that you don't like, and you are not allowing yourself to say or be or do anything other than your authentic self. Now, this is a practice. So we are starting this practice now, and there will be wobble in a vibration, of course. But as you understand this concept and are aware of how you're being as you're relating to other people, then you can maintain your vibration at a stable level. And if you can do that, you will allow the other people to rise up to you or to come to your level And from there, you can co-create in a meaningful way with an exchange of energy that's equal. We understand this is going to take a little time to sink in, but as we talk more and more about it, we're reaching for higher vibrational ideas, and these ideas have never come forth. These are what we would say.
I want to jump in.
Yes.
Joshua. So you were talking about words and communication and body language. So I studied communication, and I know tone is very important. Like, words are only 7%.
Let us stop you right there with tone. So tone is a perceptual thing. The tone that you believe that it's coming from someone is based on your perception of that person. That person could be speaking in a tone that has nothing to do with how you're perceiving it. But you may perceive the tone as bored or angry or offensive or defensive or whatever else it could be. That tone is your perception of the tone too. So you could perceive a tone as perfectly neutral, and then that tone would not come through, right? You could perceive a body language as perfectly neutral instead of how you perceive it. Now, how you perceive body language too is based on your perception of your reality, how you feel is with regard to other people, how you feel either dominant or subordinate to that person, those sort of things to be aware of too. So in the communication of body language and verbally, you can completely understand what we're saying differently because it's coming from us than if it came from your child or from a judge or from some other character in your life, right? You understand from us that your perception of us is one of positive love and that everything we say is for your highest good. So the way you perceive things coming from us and the way you perceive our tone is a loving tone. But the same exact message could be said by someone else, and you could perceive it differently based on your bias towards that person or what they represent. Kyla had an issue where her husband asked her to do something, her ex-husband asked her to do something, and it seemed ridiculous that he should ask this. And we had said, well, if this request came from God, would you see it as ridiculous? And her idea of this request changed based on how she perceived the person who was saying it. Because she perceived that the same words coming from her ex meant something very different than the same words coming from God, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so when she looked at the exact message and not the tone of the message, or the person presenting the message, she got what she needed to get out of it, which turned out to be rather valuable and made her feel a lot differently about the message itself. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're not trying to cut you off. We're just trying to interject there that tone can be subjective.
Well, isn't everything subjective? Like body language and words and word usage and emotion. And, you know, I think that's why communication can be so difficult between beings.
So everything is subjective, which means that everything is neutral, right? If something comes into your experience, it's neutral. It's neither good nor bad. And you choose how to perceive it. It is always your choice of perspective every time. So you can see something, you can see a tone of voice as intimidating or annoying or dominating or pleasing. Mm. It's your choice. So when you perceive something, you always want to do it from the approach of empowerment. How is the most empowering way for me to view this event that's happening or to hear these words? I have a choice. I, as all of you out there, when you are thinking to yourself, I have this choice to perceive something as empowering or something as limiting. If I perceive it as empowering, even though it's neutral, let's say you get a letter in the mail and you open the letter and you read the letter, can read the letter and judge it as a negative or a positive. Let's say you get a bill that you didn't expect, and you can you can perceive that in an empowering way or a limiting way. The empowering way is your approach to life that says that everything is love. I am a being of love, and so what I attract is based in love. And if I attracted this bill, then there's something in this bill for me. The old approach to life is seeing everything is happening to you, not for you. And if I get this bill, then all of a sudden, this bill means it's a bad thing. The bill itself is neutral. It doesn't matter. Now, to see it in an empowering way, you'd say, I have no issues paying this bill. I know that abundance will come from it. It doesn't matter to me anymore. The old me would have worried about me about it. The new me is curious as to how the universe will respond to this, or curious to what this is all about. The old approach to life says, nope, it's a bill, therefore it's a bad thing. Right? So everything is subjective, which means that everything is neutral, which means that everything is perceived based on your personal approach to life, how you choose to see it. Now, this is a very interesting conversation, because if you feel fear, well, you feel negative emotion. And that means that you're looking at this, whatever it is, in a perspective that is limiting. And it is not the perspective of your higher self or your inner self who is holding on to the higher perspective. Your inner self says, this is good. You are saying, this is bad. There's a conflict there. If you maintain that it's bad, and if you keep maintaining it's bad, you are going to first feel negative emotion in the form of a thought, and then more intense negative emotion in the form of thoughts, and then a manifestation event that will show you how you're maintaining your disconnect, your dissonance with the perspective of your higher inner self. So if you see something as bad when it is not bad, then you will be informed of that fact through negative emotion. Isn't that a wonderful guidance system there? Isn't that letting you know in every moment how your perspective is? Isn't that letting you know where you're casting your vote for or against something, and how that either resonates or conflicts with how your inner self is seeing it? If you can maintain that higher perspective that your inner self has, then everything you want will unfold. Of course, that's not possible, but at least you get to know when you're drifting off. And if you drift off far enough, you will get reminded with a physical manifestation event. Someone will say something, you'll get a speeding ticket, you'll crash your car, you'll get a headache, whatever it is. Something will come forth to awaken you to the fact that you are choosing this long-term limiting perspective, and by doing this, it's not empowering you and it's not helping you get what you want. So alter your perspective, see everything as a good thing, and you'll be right back into this environment and approach to allowing what you want to come to you.
Hi, Joshua.
Well, hello.
It's Arno here. Hello. I just wanted to share something with you. I've been focusing this week on the positive aspects of my life, just to be more in a more allowing
state. Give us a rundown of the positive aspects of your life.
Well, I've got a lot of abundance and well-being abound around me, and I think I tend to look at the sort of lack.
We want to hear more about the abundance. What's abundant in your life?
I've got a good job.
Excellent.
I've got, I live in a beautiful part of town. I've got lots of very good close friends I can rely on. I've got loving parents and brother. I've got everything I need, really,
in the moment. Then you are abundant.
I am, yes. And as I was doing this exercise, some really old memories resurfaced from my childhood, states of being.
So you got yourself into a vibration of feeling good, and then from that vibration, you attracted what? What was the thought?
Thoughts, states of being when I was feeling passion, whether that was when I was very, very young, and the things that brought me a particular state of being that I can still conjure now, and that felt really significantly good at the time for me in my young state of mind. And I've realized that I was a much better allower when I was younger as well, because I was carefree and I didn't use my job and my life as an excuse to not allow things in my life.
You're optimistic in youth because you believe that you had full potential to do anything you wanted to do, and it wasn't until you adopted these limiting beliefs along the way that said you couldn't do what you wanted to do. You were engaged, you were excited, you had adrenaline running through you, you had testosterone running through you, you felt the world was your oyster until you learned otherwise.
Exactly. So why do we kill that vibe, and how can we rekindle? I've been looking for my passions now, and I think I have many, but I want to live in that high state of vibration, high energy of passionate, allowing state.
What is, if something came to you and we asked you, what's your passion right now? What passion exists for you now? What would you say? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
I would say words, but it's a very diffuse. I can't pinpoint it.
Words as in writing, as in speaking, as in...
As in, yes, as in writing, as in language. Not in the creative way that I would like.
So no. You're saying that the way that you write now is not the way that you would like to write?
Not to, to a point, yes. Okay. Yeah.
So if you were to sit down and write, what would you write?
Probably fiction or poetry.
Would you be inspired to write most? A story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably, yeah, fiction, yes. Okay. Yeah.
So when you sit down to write, you can allow the words to flow from you. Gary sits down to write every morning, and the words flow from him. There's one difference between Gary and you. Gary cares less what comes out. You are attached to whatever comes out. You think what comes out defines you. And if it's not perfect, or if it's not exactly right, then you feel a hit to your persona because you think this is what comes out as a reflection of who you are. You are attached to what comes out, and therefore nothing can come out. If you give up your attachment to what comes out and just let it fly without having any judgment or even understanding, for the longest time, Gary had no understanding of what he was writing at all. He didn't even resonate, really, with the concepts. He resonated with the words, so he could type out the words. He knew almost all the words, and they would just come forth. And then as he was writing them, he had no idea what he was writing. When he went back and read it, that he realized the genius in it, the intelligence that was inherently in it, the love that was in it. You start writing, and then you start critiquing it as it comes out. And when you critique it, guess what happens? You drop to a lower emotional state of being, and that connection, that alignment to those high vibrational thoughts and ideas that you were wanting to pull forth from the non-physical into the physical, while you were not in vibrational range of those ideas, you are in vibrational range with ideas that say that you're not good enough. And when you're in vibrational range with ideas that say you're not good enough, then you can't get anything good enough. So what we suggest is always lose your attachment to any outcome. Just do what you like to do. Don't share it with anyone. Don't critique it. Don't worry about it. Play with it. When you are writing, you are channeling. Did you know that?
Yes, so you told me that.
You are bringing forth information from the non-physical. Your millions are helping you do it. There are millions of entities out there who are interested in the same story or the same desire to get this feeling out of your body and onto the pages. Right? Whatever this feeling is, it doesn't have to be the next great novel. It doesn't have to be anything that you share with anyone. All it has to be is while you're doing it, enjoy you're doing it. And that if you notice time slip by, well, you are altering your state of reality. If you are not hungry while you're doing it, then reality is being altered. If you are swept up in it and just enjoying the process of it without thinking, how's this going to end? Is it long enough? Am I using the right words? All this stuff. You can go back and fix that later. What you want to do is just spend an hour typing on a keyboard and see what comes out and have no attachment to it at all. That's true of anything you do. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Have no attachment to the outcome. If the outcome pleases you, that's great. But don't make it define you. You are not defined as a writer. You are not defined as anything. You are not good. You are good. You don't need to be defined by actions. You are worthy. You are a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, and you can't be any different than that. That's simply who you are. There is no other possibility for you. So trying to prove yourself by writing, trying to prove you're worthy by writing, will never work. You'll never feel worthy from writing.
And Arnaud, this is Mark. Also, you know, when we're in a good feeling place and we want to feel good, and then something comes up, like maybe like your childhood idea of how happy you were when you were a childhood, that's not wrong. That's okay. That happened for you. We're never going to hit a state where we're feeling good all the time. And so we look at that as a gift, as a healing opportunity, and maybe pointing to a wobble. Yeah.
I didn't actually feel that as wrong. I actually I focused on that, tried to recapture that feeling to give momentum to my feeling good, actually, to recapture that essence, to build momentum from that. Exactly.
Very good.
And then you notice that you don't feel that way now. And then you say, why don't I feel that way now? And then you want to solve the problem of why you don't feel that way now.
Yeah.
Instead of just feeling that way now. Just feel that way that, now.
Yeah, I tried not to fall into that trap as well.
So you could say, what would a 20-year-old version of me do right now?
Exactly.
And then do whatever that is. And then you will find that you don't like that anymore. That doesn't resonate with you anymore. You've already experienced that. You are at a different perspective now. The way of living when you were that age is different than the way of living that you've brought forth in a vibration now. And this way of living is wonderful for you now. All you want to do is realign yourself with feeling good. Don't worry about missing opportunities or not focusing on your passions or finding these passions. Just focus on doing whatever's most exciting in the moment and then going on to the next moment, without thinking too far ahead or attaching yourself to any outcome. It is all right here. It's all in this moment. When you're in this group talking with these other people, talking to us, you can feel very present. When you leave this group, you might think, what to do next? What should I do next? And what you want to think is, what's the most exciting thing I can do now? What's the most fun thing there is to do now? It might be watching TV. It might be meditating. It might be cooking. Who knows? It might be having a glass of wine. It might be calling a friend. Whatever that inspiration that comes to you, just do that. Get used to following that inspiration like Kyle was talking about. Get used to being open to it and not worrying about anything in the past or making mistakes or anything defining you or getting things right or good or being good. You are good, so you can just, you're here. Think about being in Disneyland. If you were in Disneyland, get off the ride and your first thought is, where next? What's next? What's next? What's next? We just did that ride. Where should we go now? That sort of thing.
And then if we think about that, like if we think about, okay, what do I want to do next? And then maybe watching TV comes up. Then we can deal with maybe if guilt comes up or judgment about what comes up, like I should be more productive, then we can deal with that as it comes up, right?
That thought and you say, okay, I want to watch TV. Let's go to see what TV is. Now, the idea of watching TV is that you can be guided to everything you need by watching TV. The right commercials, the right shows, the right programs, whatever it is.
You even reality, even like Housewives of New Jersey.
That, you get to see how people are out of alignment. Isn't that interesting? You can see how people are in alignment. Reality
that's why I like
is the
it so
best
much.
Place because you can see how people are getting what they're getting. You can see that if they're getting kicked out, they form a strong desire, and magically the desire manifests, and somehow they win the contest and don't get kicked out. Gary thinks it's unbelievably amazing to watch how this process works. It's just a complete waste of time. But if you are interested in how manifestations happen and how people dip into fear and lose connection to that which they really want, but then contrast causes them to birth desires, and then the desires carry them forward into getting what they say they want, and the difference between what they say they want and what they truly want, and then coming to find out what they truly want, it's a fantastic thing. And so when you say, I could go for a run, that would be good for me, or I could watch TV, that would be bad for me, well, you're just making a subjective thing on both things are neutral. You can get out what you want out of both things. Just do whichever one you're inspired to do. If you're inspired to watch TV and you go on a run because you think that's what you should be doing, you're not going to get what you wanted to get, and it's going to be at work and a struggle. When you go...
Another thing.
Go ahead.
Another thing with reality TV, when I happen upon it, I use it as an exercise to see what comes up in me when I find myself judging the people on the TV. So that's a way that it can add value and be seen as a good thing if you're doing inner work while doing it.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Now, Joshua, what if you're feeling fear about doing something? And so you watch TV to not deal with wanting to do something else,
perfect.
Like as procrastination.
That's what you should do. If you are not inspired enough to do something, if the fears are too intense to push through them, then do what makes you feel better. Don't do anything.
Okay.
Now. when you are inspired to do anything, when you get a thought to do it, when you get to the state of allowing that allows you to receive thoughts and act on inspiration, you will get the thought, like Kyla would have gotten in the past, that, no, it's a waste of time. I am on my way out the door. I don't want to go back in the house. And that is fear. The fear of this was wasting time. These are little tiny fears, but those are fears. They may not seem like fears to you. They may seem like a practical approach to this. But if you squelch anything you're inspired to do, you're only doing it out of fear. Now, it's no big deal if she missed that book. She just had this inspiration. She went on the inspiration. She went by it. She got the book. And it gave her what she needed at the time. She could have still gone to the park without the book, gone to the play area without the book, and found something else that might have done the same thing. But the inspiration was there. Her millions were guiding her towards this book, and she took it. If the desire is strong enough, you can push through those fears. You can look at those fears, whatever they may be, and look at them in the face and say, I don't need to be limited by these fears. I can push through them. If I have this inspiration, I can do it. But if you can't analyze those fears and reduce the intensity of those fears, well, they're going to be stuck in your vibration, and you're going to get a wobble in there, and this thing you're inspired to do is going to be a little more difficult than it otherwise could be. So do the work ahead of time, prepave your path, analyze your fears, and if the fears are too big, watch TV or do whatever else makes you feel good. And then it'll come up again, and you'll have a chance to do it again. Now, if you keep putting things off, things that you are inspired to do, not things that you think you should do, we want to make a clear distinction here, too.
Yeah.
You might think you should clean your room or clean your closet or organize stuff, and you might be inspired to do it. The should doing is the thing that isn't going to get the results that you want. It doesn't engage universal forces. It doesn't leverage the powers of the universe. You're just doing it because you think it's wrong not to do it. If you're inspired to do it, then it'll be easy. It'll go quickly. You'll have fun doing it. Other people will help you do it. It'll be so much quicker than what you thought it would be.
Right. Thank you.
But there's a clear distinction between being inspired and then just doing something to get it out of the way to then feel good.
Yeah,
you know, it's like there are certain obligations, quote unquote, where you know that if you do them, despite the fact that you don't feel fantastic about doing them, you will feel better afterwards for having done them.
So the fact that you don't feel good about doing them now is fear.
Yeah.
So realize that that's just fear. That's just fear. It'll take too long. It'll be cost too much money. It'll be a waste of time. I don't think I'm going to have a good time. That sort of thing. All irrational fear. If it's coming up for you, if you've been invited to something and you've agreed to it, and now you're lamenting about it later, saying, how can I get out of this thing? I don't think it's going to be fun. That is just fear. The fact that it came to you means it's the master of your vibration, that you can go forward and do it, and that you will have fun or get whatever you need out of the situation. The resistance that you place on that by not dealing with the fear ahead of time, but by saying, I'm only doing it because I obligated myself to do it. And then you begrudgingly go to do it, and then you are at a lower emotional state of being, and you're not of benefit to anyone. Instead, if you said, I agreed to this commitment, so I'm going to prepave my path by realizing that these fears I have are just figments of my imagination. They're not real. They're irrational. I'm going to prove they're irrational because I've done things like this before, and I've always had a good time. And I'm going to go into this situation with a degree or a stance of curiosity and see how is this for me. And I intend to make it fun. And I intend to be a fun person. And I intend to get whatever I get out of this situation. I am pre-paving my path by setting my intentions, and I'm casting aside my fears. I'm pushing through them. And once I'm in the moment, I am going to engage fully, lean into it, and have as much fun, much enjoyment, much thrill, much interest, much excitement as I possibly can. I'm going to be who I authentically can, who I authentically am, and I'm going to maintain my stable vibration as I am interacting with everyone who's interacting with me. If you can do that, then everything can be wildly fascinating, exciting, fun, and interesting. Everything.
I was hoping that I wouldn't have to house clean anymore. That's what I was hoping.
Why
get a house cleaner.
Do that? Why would you do that? Because you have a fear of paying someone, a fear of what someone else would think, a fear of what your friends would think if you had a live-in full-time maid? Why would you possibly ever want to clean your own house if you don't enjoy that aspect of it? You either figure out a way to enjoy it, or you allow the universe to do it for you. Mm-hmm. And you don't stand in the way of it by saying, oh, I can't afford a maid, or who am I to have a maid, or who am I to expect someone to clean my house, or who am I to expect my husband to clean my house, or who am I to do all this stuff? That's not right. That's wrong. I shouldn't be like that. I should be totally different than I am. Right? Mm-hmm. Resistance, fear. It's all irrational. Get it out. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Find someone else who does want to do it, because there's plenty of people who want to do anything you don't want to do. And you can focus all of your energy on your passions and interests. And if your house begins to fill up with clutter, you're going to have this feeling of contrast, and it's going to have this overwhelming desire to either get over your fear of hiring someone or do it yourself, right? Mm. So let the desire be the engine of manifestation. But don't do things just because you think you should. Make everything as fun as you can. Make everything interesting. Engage. Make everything empowering. Look at everything in a way that supports who you really are and what you really want. Don't let anything define you. Don't let a messy house or a clean house define you. A clean house is no representation of who you are. A messy house is no representation of who you are. Nothing is. That's all inauthentic crap that you carry around with you, that you've been influenced to believe.
Uh-huh.
There's only one reality of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
A limitless pure positive being of pure
like robots now.
A limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance.
That's all you can be. You can't be anything else unless you place limitations on you that are there only because of these ridiculous fears. And we won't say the word ridiculous fears, because that tends to make people think that we're not taking them seriously when they are serious to you. And from your perspective, you think that they're important, but they're not. Your credit rating doesn't matter. Driving record doesn't matter. The type of car that you have doesn't matter. Where you live doesn't matter. Who you're married to doesn't matter. If you're funny, that doesn't matter. If you're intelligent, that doesn't matter. If you're beautiful, that doesn't matter. None of that matters. And the reason it doesn't matter is because you tend to think that unless you can get this ability, you can't do something you want to do. That is limiting based in fear. And since you are self-contained, we should add that whole phrase to the beginning of, you are a self-contained and limitless, but limitless pretty much implies self-contained, right? Self-contained and limitless being of your positive love and acceptance. This could be a very long sentence in a little while. You don't need anything other than who you are right now to get everything you want right now. You don't need one thing about you to change. You're perfect the way you are, and so is everyone else. So instead of thinking what you don't want to do, be constantly thinking, do you want to do? What do I want to do now? What do I want now? How is it I want to be now? What is interesting right now? Well, it's interesting to clean the house, not because it reflects poorly on me, but because I prefer a clean and orderly house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it because someone else expects me. I'm not doing it because my mother's coming over. I'm not doing it, well, I am doing it because my mother's coming over, because I like it when she thinks I'm a clean person. I don't want her to think poorly of me, because my persona is dependent on her approval of me. It's not that it truly is dependent on it. It's just that I've been influenced by her over all these years that her opinion matters. Hmm. Yet it does not matter.
Hey, Josh, this is Mark. I have a quick question. So in one of the questions, the answers that you gave me, you were talking about for if I want to reach the people that I want to reach in my life coaching, then to, you said, I feel very worthy, but I want to can even increase my worthiness. So I know how to deal with things that come up, like fear of money or different fears, my limitations, and I can deal with it, like tap on it or look at the fears and reduce them. But when it comes to something like increasing worthiness, that like it doesn't come up as an issue for me. So how do you suggest I increase that if it doesn't come up as a fear or an issue for me consciously?
Notice when it comes up in manifestation events. On the Joshua Cruise, you did a tapping example, and your phone rang. And this is a manifestation event, because here it is.
Right.
You wanting people to think what you're doing is beneficial, that you are, that this is helpful, that you're good at it, that you're an expert in it, that this is your profession, your passion, that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the ocean, your phone rings. And you handle it, obviously, very well, yet there was a negative emotion. Like, this shouldn't have happened. Well, that happened for you, so that you could see that there was a wobble in your vibration about this. But there, here is this whole group of people you don't know that you're doing a demonstration to in front of, and then here's a little wobble. The universe shows you a little wobble. That's all that is. Had you felt magnificently worthy of this aspect of your life, of this profession, of this talent that you have, it would have been a completely different situation. You would have been in the center instead of off to the side. Your phone would have not rung. Everyone would have been around you. Everything that you did and said would have been inspired. Everyone would have resonated, or those who were able to resonate with the vibration that you were offering would have felt inspiration from it. Everyone would have come away with a different idea of it.
Yeah.
You may assume that you are worthy and that this is your passion and that you're good at it. But until you know that you're the best who has ever done it in the history of the world, that no one can do it like you, that you deserve millions of dollars for what you're doing, well, then you have a little more worthiness to go. And the way to get there is through desire. Now, if you believe yourself to be worthy, well, then you have no desire for worthiness. So we were simply saying, ramp up your desire for worthiness. Want to
ramp
be that
up
person
my desire.
That is in demand. Uh-huh. Have a waiting list. Have so many clients that you can't possibly get to them. Turn people down who aren't a vibrational match to what you do.
Yeah.
Gary answers maybe one out of every 10, 20, 30 questions that he receives. There are so many questions that are coming in. In this one area of his life, he feels worthy of what he's doing. He feels like the answers are beneficial. He feels like the people in the one-on-one, you people, are getting a life-changing result from it. So he is able to be comfortable charging when he's comfortable with charging. He's not able to go any further than this. His vibration of worthiness is exactly matches the worthiness that he's feeling, and the abundance as a result of that is exactly a reflection of how worthy he is. Somewhat abundant, but certainly there are miles to go in that regard.
Yeah.
And abundance is always a byproduct of worthiness every time.
Thank you for that. So what I did with...
You feel worthy, and the abundance that you receive is a reflection of that worthiness.
Okay. And I like to increase your desire for it. So what I did, my takeaway was I noticed you know that I did have a wobble with that situation. But my takeaway was, well, the more experience I have, you know, the different dealing with different personalities, different situations, the more comfortable I get with it, the better. The more I do it, the better I get with it. And every once in a while, something will come up that will be a wobble, and I'll just go through it.
And exactly, that's how that you'll do it, and that's what people do all the time. To increase your level of worthiness, they'll get certifications, they'll get education, they'll get experience, they'll get recommendations, they'll build up this space, and that is absolutely fine. And what we are saying to you specifically is that you already feel worthy. And for you specifically, if you enhance or bump up the desire to feel even more worthy, then you will notice an increase in worthiness coming to you. You'll notice an increase in manifestation events. You'll notice a change in your set of beliefs. You'll notice how what you are doing relates to how worthy you are feeling. You will notice an increase in customers coming. You will notice a decrease in customers. You will notice all these things that will help change your beliefs about worthiness.
So bump up the desire, and then that's it. Like, there's not like a daily thing to work on. Just bump up that desire for worthiness and for
feeling like I'm the day. I intend to have a desire for more worthiness tomorrow. I intend to see signs of my worthiness. I don't care about abundance. Abundance is a side effect of worthiness. I will know that my worthiness is elevated when my abundance levels elevate.
Okay. Well, your letter already your letter just gave me a new perspective on it, and it kind of automatically did that. But I but I can do that even more.
That was our point. That was all our point. Showing you a new perspective. Just by the fact that if you come from this place of feeling worthy, which you do, and realize that there's more to go in that, that awareness is all that you needed.
That's awesome. New perspective. Thank you.
Excellent.
Joshua, I have something for you. I've been getting headaches coming and going. It's like the headache pops in and I stop and I think, okay, what am I resisting? And sometimes I can get it, sometimes I can't, and the headache will go away. And then maybe 10 minutes later, maybe 2 hours later, it comes back. And it's just, is this just my body now kind of getting used to
It's your heightened awareness now. Your body would give you a headache for a long extended period of time trying to get your attention.
Right.
And then finally, it got your attention. Found us, you found a new perspective on life, and then you dived back into your previous life with new vigor. Mm-hmm. And instead of locking yourself away in a closet and just being zen-like and blissful and meditating all day, which would allow you not to have any desires, and therefore your body would have no need to give you any indications that you were being resistant, because you weren't being resistant, now you are jumping back into a mix of life and a mix of things that are going on just as you wanted to, just as you intended to, so that you're mixing it up and you're facing contrast and you're facing resistance. And this is all part of it. But now your body is, you are more in tune with that. And you can know that you are aware the instant you don't feel good.
Mm.
And so you can get a little headache. And then when you stop and you relax and you realize that everything is going right, that I'm allowed myself to get caught up in the moment, that I allowed myself to feel a fear, then it'll subside until you do it again. And this is great practice. Now, this could have come up with emotion, but emotion is just not strong enough for you. Mm. You could feel the slight negative emotion, but most of humans ignore those. And so the next thing is a physical manifestation. And some people, Gary has this theme of hurting his foot before every big change.
Mm.
He pulled a tendon when he started his business. He stepped on a nail right before he got married. He was playing football the day of moving into his first new house and broke a toe. These sort of things happen to him. It's the physical manifestation getting his attention of his resistance to change. In your case, you're getting tiny little physical manifestations, little indications of your resistance as you're moving in and out of things. And as you become easier and get less attached to outcomes or how they reflect on you, which you are doing perfectly well right now,
thank you.
Then take pride in the times that things go well. Say, I manifested that. I manifested this sale. I manifested this commission. I manifested these clients. I manifested this contract. I manifested showing this house. I manifested all this stuff. I did this myself. I created all this. My powers of creation are unbelievable. Ramp up those things that you can say you did and then reflect good on you, and ignore the things that you think says something bad about you, like someone's opinion. None of that matters. And you're getting good at this, and that's why the little headaches are coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. And as you get better and better and better, you're being led exactly to the belief system and the vibration that will get you even more stuff and even more stuff and even more stuff. Don't let the headaches cause you grief or think they're bad or worry about them increasing as you get into more levels of awareness and more higher elevated vibrations when you're facing even bigger fears. Let these be, think of them as a gift, that they're your little guide, and they're not a bad thing, but they're moving you towards that which you want. Mm. Also notice how you're eating, what you're eating, and what you're drinking, and how much you're sleeping, and how much energy you have, and how much energy you're giving out.
Okay.
Because this will be have a lot to do with it as well.
Gotcha. Yeah. Interesting.
So focus specifically on what you're eating.
Okay.
And of course, make sure
that's new.
You're hydrated.
Yeah.
But types of things that you're eating, because you are at a level now where you can let these headaches go away. It's just that there's something in your body that's making this easier for you to see than for negative emotion. And if you just notice the negative emotion, that should be all that you need at this point, as your vibration is raising. So we think that it is not necessary anymore. It's not a bad thing that you're having them, but that if you can correlate them also to your diet, that it may not be necessary
anymore. Wow. That's cool. I have to share one thing too that was pretty cool because of my passion of being a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance on Facebook.
The other
love monger. There you go. Love or loving machine. on Facebook, Ben was posting something and I posted back to Ben that I fucking love him. And I thought about that afterwards. I don't know Ben. I've never met Ben.
Oh,
I don't
no,
know.
You don't know Ben?
But obviously,
we sort of think you might be eternally linked to Ben.
Right? And I really got that for the first time ever and how easy it was for me to just send love to this person and how excited I got that I could do that with anybody and everybody.
And how inspired you were to do that.
Wow.
Yes.
You received the inspiration. You pushed through the fear.
Yeah.
And he received what he wanted as well.
Mm-hmm. And I received from it too, from that interaction.
Yeah. Because it's easy for me to say to Kyla, I can say that to Kyla and Astrid all day long, but to reach out to and that, you know, I just felt that felt really good. And thank you for helping me find that passion.
You're eternally linked to everyone here on this call, on everyone that you know in your real life or online. You are eternally linked together and you are all in this together. You are all chose this path as lovers and uplifters and teachers. And isn't it fun doing this? That's how you know that you should be doing it, because it's fun and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you get these aha moments that give you goosebumps.
Yeah, I was going to say it's helpful too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The feedback that you get from positive emotion, showing you that you have this beneficial belief, that all the time that you worried about expressing your love in the past because you thought you had to get it back from the other person or you worried about what they thought of you. Can you imagine someone not wanting your love? Isn't that they may not be comfortable with it, but that doesn't mean they don't want it. The only reason they would not want to be unconditionally loved and accepted by Wendy would be if they had something going on in themselves. But everyone wants unconditional love from Wendy and from everyone else. So you can freely express your love if that's what you're inspired to do, without regard to what anyone else thinks, because it doesn't matter what they think, because what they think is based on their perception of their own reality.
Exactly. Exactly. Thanks.
Who else has something for us?
Can I ask something about my...
Alexa, absolutely.
Your suggestion that I start teaching people English or Dutch. Why, I think I have nothing to offer to them.
Here you are, living in another country, speaking a foreign tongue. Everyone here can hear you. Everyone understands what you're saying. No one thinks that you aren't fluent in English at all. Everyone would be thrilled if they were interested, if they had the desire to learn Dutch, would go to you. And if they wanted to learn a few words, if they were traveling to Amsterdam or anywhere in Holland, in the Netherlands, they would contact you and say, what word should I say? And they would think they would be the most incredible thing that they could speak to you, someone who's fluent in two languages. The only human in the face of the earth who doesn't think that you would be the most fantastic teacher of Dutch or English or back and forth, whoever it is, however you feel like doing it, is you. Isn't that ironic?
Yes, it is.
Every single person here can understand every single word you say. When you write a letter to us, it is clearer and more perfect than almost any other letter from any other English-speaking, national English-speaking person. Mm-hmm. Now, how long does it take you to write us a letter? Does it take you like 3 weeks to formulate one letter and make sure every word is perfectly right?
No.
You just write it.
Yes, I write it.
Right.
So and I don't
here
think
you
about...
are. Oh, writing your questions in a completely foreign tongue that are absolutely perfect and that are easy to read and that convey what you're saying perfectly. And here you have a little bit of doubt about that, which is fine. But you are self-contained. Everything you need is within you. So what we suggested was that if you want to feel more confident about translating English to Dutch or Dutch to English, then you should teach that. You can teach these things to people. And by doing this, not only will you gain confidence in translating, and not only will your beliefs about yourself change, and therefore your entire world changes, your reality changes completely, your colleague becomes a completely different mirror to you. Instead of mirroring your self-doubt, he'll mirror your confidence. All the other people in your office will mirror your confidence. You'll get everything you want out of it, but you'll also get everything else that you want out of it. You'll get new friendships. You'll get new relationships. You'll get new people to talk to. You'll be able to converse in English with people. Yeah. You'll be able to help people. You'll be able to help young people. You'll be able to interact physically with people or do it online, whatever you want to do. You will completely broaden your horizons. And so not just the confidence in translation will come through, but all these other things you want will come through. And the reason they don't come through right now is because you're not a vibrational match to all those things, because there's fear, and that fear is getting your vibration stuck where you, and we won't say stuck because it's always moving around and changing and reality changing every second, but it feels like you're stuck.
Yeah, everything in my life is okay except for the translation stuff.
And the translation stuff is the fantastic stuff. And this is what we're working on. And you're getting to newer and higher levels. And now the next step right in front of you, the next step right in front of you, the idea to teach has come up. So what is the next step? This is what we asked you on our last
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have no idea. You want me to place an ad online?
We don't want you to do anything. We don't care less.
I just don't feel comfortable in doing that.
That's because of fear, right?
Yeah.
That's simply because of fear. If you
Alette, you don't have to worry, because only people that are a vibrational match to your ad will even see it.
Yes. Yeah.
Or if they're a vibrational match to her self-doubt, they'll see it too. Which will be fun, because that'll launch her right into a manifestation event that she can deal with that fear. So, simply research where someone might advertise as a tutor or as a teacher of another language. Where would that be? Are there online communities that do this? Is there a website like Upwork that does this? Is there schools that are interested in it? Is there a school in your neighborhood? Is there a bulletin board at the supermarket that you can post? Mm-hmm. Things like that. That's the first step. Don't think too far ahead. Don't think we're in the lead. Just say, where would one post a opportunity like this? Where would someone get exposure? And then just look around. That's the step. So then once that step's over, you'll be at a new place, and another step will occur to you. And if it doesn't occur to you because of fear, then just ask us. We'll tell you what the next step is.
Okay, I will do so. Thank you.
So you don't need another certificate. You don't need any more education. You don't need any more training. You are completely self-contained. Everything that you want to do, you have within you at this point right now. Not one single thing needs to change about you. You don't need to be able to converse better than you do now. You don't need to be able to write better than you are now. Everything you need to do to get what you want out of this idea have now. All you have to do is push through that fear and do it.
Except a doctorate degree. Don't you think that'd be good?
A doctorate degree would just delay things another 7 years. But if a doctorate degree, if that process of going to school and going to class and being with the people and interacting with the teachers, if that is your bliss, if that is your passion, then that's perfectly right. Or if you're just getting it because it's going to alleviate some fear, well, that will never work, because then all you'll be is a fearful doctor. You can have a stack of degrees and diplomas, and you'll still have this fear. So move through the fear is all we're saying. Move through the fear, move through the fear, get used to moving through the fear, and you'll get whatever you want. If you choose not to move through the fear, that's fine too. It's still a wonderful life.
Okay, thank you.
Unfortunately, you know too much now, though.
Yeah.
That's our problem. You know
yes,
it's fear,
we do.
You know it's limiting. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
We have time for 43 more.
43
as long as it can be
more.
Done in 9 minutes. Is there anything else? One last thing?
I have. Oh,
excellent.
I have something. Great. So this person from my past has I guess resurfaced at an interesting time. I've been exploring. I mean, you wrote me a note about power and energy and the exchange of it in relationships. And this is a person where we discussed the idea of a certain power balance, but we were both always fighting for power. And it was a fun, exchange, you know, playing with it and seeing it flow back and forth. And then it just sort of ended, and that was fine. I detached from it. And now he's back. And so I'm showing up as me, and I'm practicing just seeing him as an equal, mm-hmm. even though there's still this idea of a certain kind of power balance. I can't figure out what role.
Is it? Who has the idea of a power balance?
It was his initially.
Well, you don't care about him. You don't right. care about mm-hmm. you. He can have all okay. the ideas in the world he wants to. Now, you go into this interaction with him. Maintain your power. You maintain mm-hmm. your belief that you are equal. You maintain mm-hmm. your belief that he is equal.
Right.
Going with a curiosity, I wonder what tactic he's going to use to try and suck my power. Mm-hmm. And you are curious. I wonder how I'm going to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to judge him for trying to do that? Am I going to see right. that as being wrong and therefore give up my power by making him wrong inside? Or am I just going to maintain my balance and let him do it? Because if you can maintain his balance, he can flail around as much as he wants, but he can't take the dominant position if you're not taking the subordinate position.
Right.
Now, you are still not trying to take the dominant position either. So you have uh-huh. to understand your tendency to want to take the dominant position.
Mm-hmm.
And you tend to take the dominant position in fear. The reason you want the dominant position is because you fear that you'll be giving away your power if you take the subordinate position. It's just fear either way. You can be dominant not because you are confident, but because you are incompetent. You have doubts. You have fears. Mm. Or you can take the dominant position because you're confident and you want to take the power from the other person. Either way, it can go either way. Dominance doesn't mean one is superior to the other. It just means they're taking that position of taking power away from the other person. And subordinate doesn't mean that they're inferior or have doubts or fears or anything. They're just giving they're used to giving it. They believe that the situation requires it. So if you can maintain your equal level of power with everyone else you interact with, no matter who they are, it just takes the practice. You can notice how they're trying to be dominant or submit or subordinate, and or how you're trying to be dominant or subordinate, and why they're trying to do it and why you're trying to do it. And
so
it's a practice. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's a practice. So what I've been trying to understand and be aware of, or figure out, I guess, is how to apply that practically, entering into these situations, and I go in as an equal. And then when the other person comes back and is, you know, going in either direction, I guess what I've noticed myself sort of wobbling around is maintaining my equal stance, regardless of how the other person is being.
Let's say you maintain your alignment.
So okay.
You maintain feeling good. If you can maintain feeling good, then, and without being swayed one way or the other, without allowing fears to pop up, whatever fears, just maintain that feeling good and just notice what they're doing. That's all.
Right.
That's
okay. So it's just like everything else, just finding an empowering perspective and recognizing that they're acting from a place of fear. For some reason, this feels bigger to me than other areas where I'm able to do that really easily.
Yeah.
I guess because I came here to explore it.
Right. And so that is what you're exploring, and that's why he showed up.
Right.
That's
okay.
That's the reason for it.
Okay. All right.
At this time.
Thank you.
Well, this has been one of the most thrilling and engaging conversations we've ever had in the history of the world. And we have had conversations with people you wouldn't even believe. But this has been better than all those put together. This has been incredible. And we thank
you. It has been good.
We thank you from the bottoms of our vibrations to the top of our vibrations. I can't wait to do it again. It's been so much fun. And with that, we are, as always, completely complete.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.